uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another live edition of the broadcast. We've got some news and information to get into with you tonight. Not a lot of news, obviously. I'm not going to... See, I can just turn the mic on and just go right into it. It's getting more like that, It is. Some days you just want to dispense with the pleasantries and just jump right into it. My God, everything is just happening the way, not only the way that many people have predicted it would play out for a great amount of years, but also playing out in a way that that just fits the agenda perfectly. It's just amazing to see this all happening. My God, what's going on in London? There, completely staged incidents there to, they're provocateuring this stuff and happening. It's just like they do the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or anything. They provoke it. They get their operatives to start it. And then when real, actual citizens get involved, they blame it all on the citizens and the people that are causing this. I mean, this is it's just sickening to watch this happen. We've already had many deaths, and we've had teenagers beaten down, and we see all this stuff happening, and we look at what people have talked about for years. Of course, over there in Britain and in the UK. And I hope all of our listeners in the UK and Britain, I hope you guys are all safe over there. We've got quite a few listeners in the UK, so I hope you guys are safe over there. And I hope you guys aren't allowing yourself to be provocateured into participating in this stuff. Although I understand, sometimes the allure of looting is too much to resist. I understand, but anyway, it's wild stuff, and we're starting to see the whole plan be brought to fruition. I mean, we're seeing buildups everywhere, and disasters, and war, and famine, and in the middle of this, we've got solar flares and. And I just, I'm pondering whether or not this is all happening for the reasons many people believe. Many people believe the reasons this is happening is that, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is, the fulfillment of all those things that people have been saying were going to happen for a great many years now. And it's here, and it's before us, and this is it. But see, I don't know if I believe that fully. Because, I mean, where I'm sitting, where I'm looking at, all this stuff to me seems like it's all completely avoidable. All of it. The only reason any of this is happening is because there are individuals, people, groups, governments, etc. that are provoking this into being. So, I'm having a real tough problem There goes my mic doing that weird thing again. I'm having a real tough problem being able to, you know, just believe this is just a fulfillment of the prophecy and the plan and everything. This is going, you know, much in the same way as we've been reading from the Lost Book of Enki, which we'll continue doing tonight as well. One of the things it talked about in there was, you know, this, the Anunnaki were having these discussions and having troubles figuring out, you know, what is destiny and what is fate. And you know, that's the whole thing. Some people say that we're destined for this to happen. It's destined for the economy to fail. It's destined for mankind to, you know, fall down into this existence. It's destined for mankind to be enslaved, blah, 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 blah. And then others say, no, it's our fate. You know, it's fated for us to happen. This is how it's supposed to happen. This is it. And Nibiru's coming back and all this stuff. And it was fated to happen that way. And I just have a real tough problem with that because everybody's running around acting like all these things are absolutes. Like this, you know, it's just supposed to happen that way, so it needs to happen, so let it be. But somebody has to put that mindset into your head for you to believe that that's true. They have to put that there first. To think that any of this stuff couldn't be changed in a moment if we really wanted it to is just insane. None of this needs to be happening. None of it should be happening. And the only reason that it is because we are now seeing the full fruition of this plan of global government and the New World Order we've been hearing talked about for years and years and years, and here it is now. It's actually before us, and as I've talked about many times before, people are acting freaked out now that it's here. Don't get freaked out now. You should have been getting freaked out years ago. Now is not the time to get freaked out now that it's here and upon us. England always gets, you know, that you guys got the police state before us. You guys got your guns taken away before us. You guys have still been under the crown. But everything that happens over there happens first before it gets here. And there's just no reason to think any of this stuff isn't in stage. I'm sorry, I should have properly intro'd the show tonight. I just, it's hard sometimes. I'm looking at this stuff and it's just brewing inside of me. The only thing I can do is just get up here and talk to you about it. But this is the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. I want to thank you all for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Tuesday, August 9th into Wednesday, August the 10th, 2011. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. You can find the links to listen to the live show, archives, my films, clips from different shows I've done, all kinds of stuff up there. We have the network here that runs commercial-free and uncensored with the help of our listeners. We're going to start having a weekly fun. We have the Chip and Baron that's up every month, and that sometimes doesn't get people to we don't get anything in the month. We get stuff at the end of the month, first of the month, and then that's it. Manhunter had talked to me about not putting up the Chip and Banner anymore, and I kind of said, well, you know, people had said, no, we don't like that. You know, we like the idea of there being a goal. So we did put that back for you there. And we're going to start having like weekly fundraising goals. Our weekly fundraising goal this week is $200. So that's not a lot of money. So we have the stream bill coming up due on the 15th. So this week our fundraising is goal is $200. If we meet that, we won't have to get anything in the rest of the week. So there you go, theglobalreality.com. Love to have emails from you as well tonight during the show. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Love to have those emails in tonight. If you've got anything you want to send in, have me talk about here on the show, I'd be glad to do it. I want to see what I have from last night. Again, tonight we're going to be getting into page 210 of the Lost Book of Enki, the account. Now we're going to get into the account of how the Anunnaki decided to abandon Earth. So stick around for that tonight here on the broadcast. Last night we were talking about the tribe of Dan and the Nuit Coeptus, and someone had sent me a video of that. I haven't watched it yet. I think it was George. Yeah, it was George. Thank you, George. I appreciate that. George sent me that video over tonight. And somebody sent me an email asking, We were talking about that Knights of Malta guy last night that signed that, left that comment on that Blacklisted News article. That was so funny. Fucking Knights of Malta are just, you know, they don't even care if people know they're known disinfo agents now. Nick had found a few things in the, what is going on here? Hold on a second, folks. I'm dealing with my microphone. I wonder if this thing got dropped or something at some point. It just seems like it's not working right. Or now it sounds better. I took the pop filter off, but now I'm getting popped. So, oh, give me a second. Hadn't used one of these in a while. Good old fashioned pop filter. Is that better? Well, maybe that'll work. I don't know. Now I seem to be not being able to be heard as well. I don't know what to do. Need a new microphone, I guess. This has been a good one, but let's see. Better bump that up another 200 if we need a new microphone. No, I'm kidding. So Dr. Mount is this guy's name. That's funny. Dr. Mount. And Nick had found some videos of him on YouTube. Dr. Mount, I guess if Dr. William Mount, if you put his name in YouTube, you'll find his videos. But he's got one called Dr. Mount Credentials. And he's showing off like his Russian visa and all this. I mean, just total spook bait stuff, man. It's hilarious. And you notice how this stuff's getting more and more ridiculous every day as well. And the fear mongers are ramping up their ridiculousness. And I just flat refuse to do it. I am not going to get up here and try to sell you a product. I'm not going to get up here and tell you the end is near. And that's why we need you to purchase this bug out bunker with your water filters and storable foods. And make sure you get some gold from Teddy Boy because he's got a good deal for you today below spot. You should never be in fear of something because someone puts that fear into you. We're so open to suggestion. We're being tricked into believing we should be in fear about things. Look, you should be concerned with all of this stuff. But if you react or act in fear to anything, you are going to act in the wrong way. That's the biggest thing that I feel like I have to remind people in all this stuff. I know a lot of it's amazing to me. A lot of people out there for years just thought this stuff was just, you know, fun and games, or thought all this stuff was, you know, probably not true. And if it was so true, everybody in the mainstream would know about it. No. A lot of us, you know, not a lot of us, but some of us out here have for years known that this stuff was coming. And not coming because it's the fulfillment of the, you know, Bible prophecy of the evil new world order of Satan and, you know, Christ is coming back soon to save us all. Don't matter, no way. I'm getting raptured out. I'm going to heaven. I ain't have that damn new world order. Jesus is coming back and he's going to take me away on his golden steed. I don't give a damn. I'm going to see Jesus. I want to hang out with Jesus. Y'all can hang down here with the sinners. Yes, sir. Bob, down here with the sinners. You can burn in a lake of fire. Y'all have fun because I am going back. I don't give a damn, man. Trying to tell me about Obama. Trying to tell me about Bush. Man, I don't give a damn. Going to heaven. With Jesus on a golden steed, it's all that matters. That's where I'm going. I'm getting raptured out, man. I don't give a damn. I ain't going to tell people 9/11 was no inside job. Come on now. Why are you trying to fight this stuff anyway? Why are you trying to wake people up? Jesus is going to rapture you out if you believe in him. Oh, man. You know, but that's the whole thing is that this stuff, all of this is happening because the powers that be have pushed the mechanisms into place to make it all happen. It wouldn't be happening if they didn't want it to. And it doesn't have to happen if we don't want it to. But we're allowing ourselves to be emotionally manipulated into having a response of this stuff, just like they did to us. Remember last week I was talking about, you know, how for a split second right after 9/11, every single goddamn motherfucking American wanted a Muslim's head on a fucking platter for dinner for at least, you know, the first day or the first few hours that that thing happened. Everybody did. And they got that response out of us because they wanted that response to occur. And they figured out what a goddamn weapon that is. And it's going to come again, and it's going to be harder and harder for people to make decisions and have discernment on this stuff. Keep your eyes open. Keep your perceptions up when they start telling you about, you know, locating you alien ships and comets or meteors that may destroy us. They start telling you War 3 is coming. They start telling you there's suitcase nukes coming. I mean, just make sure you have your bullshit meters up. Make sure you have your discernment level high. And for God's sakes, don't believe anything that comes out of that television just because they tell you it's so. 9/11 was the warm-up. And a lot of people who were able to see 9/11 later on for what it was didn't see it at the time and believed that what was coming out of that television was true for a period of time. And I knew immediately on the day of 9/11, because of my research into the Kennedy assassination, I started seeing all of the same exact things happen immediately. And it was like the ultimate blasphemy saying that to my friends at the time when it happened. They were like, oh, well, God, no, don't you dare try to bring that conspiracy bullshit into this. This is not the same as that. You're an idiot. Bah. And, you know, granted, I didn't have the data yet. You know, it was just happening. Nobody did, but. You know, as soon as I saw Building 7, as soon as I saw, you know, as soon as it started happening, it's like they're going to have, you know, they'll have an Oswald, they'll have a Patsy rolled out here pretty quick, and of course they did. But I think what they achieved with that, with getting people to have the same simultaneous response to something, almost every living person on the planet, you know, with the exception of people in, you know, without access to media, that's a powerful weapon. And I think it's going to be a lot harder to discern the real from the not real the next time around. So I think we have to be very aware of that. Let's see what we have here. Oh, I thought okay, here we go. George says, hi, Josh, I wanted to mention the significance of this date, 10-23-11. Yeah, that was that Knights of Malta guy was saying that was when Obama was supposed to be assassinated on 10-23-11. And he says that 10-23 plus 11 equals 44, as in 44th president. Of course, you already know that some suspect he is the clone of Amenhotep IV or Akhenaten and his various ties to Lincoln and the number 4. Again, you know, like I said last night, maybe this guy's right. But, you know, either way, if this guy, this supposed Knights of Malta guy what was his name again? Dr. Mount. Mount. Dr. William Mount. Admitted Knights of Malta. You know, again, either way, I think this guy, well, you watch this Dr. Mount credentials video from YouTube, it should be pretty apparent to you this guy's an operative of some kind. So, you know, either way, to me, this guy's fucking credibility is, I don't know, he's just suspect. Either way, if it doesn't happen, well, then he's a disinfo artist, right? If it does happen, he's a suspect. He you know, that's the way I see it. I mean, those are hefty claims to make and be throwing around and getting people, you know, whipped up into a frenzy and scared the race war's coming and they're going to do, you know, all this stuff. And it very well may be, but, you know, making false claims about things that may happen at a certain time. Now, if he's right, and they do end up doing it again, I think the guy is certainly up to be questioned about it. No doubt. I mean, did you guys remember, I think it was back in 2009, when the London Telegraph ran this, what was obviously a psychological operation, possibly foreshadowing, it seems. Some of this stuff reminds me of that. It was called Operation Blackjack. You guys remember that? You can Google Operation Blackjack, and the London Telegraph thing is the first thing that comes up. It was this weird thing that described all these, you know, homegrown terror attacks and World War III and all this stuff breaking out, and have these different codes in it that people translate, all this weird shit surrounding. I can't remember all the details of it, but it was just a strange thing. But a lot of this stuff that's happening with these riots in London, the rest of stuff, really reminds me of that. Seems like there was a lot of foreshadowing to those events. Definitely check out Operation Blackjack and see what you think, and see what you think about the similarities to that. Power companies prepare as solar storms set to hit Earth. They're bracing for this. Apparently, the sun has unleashed the largest solar flare in years. Unbelievable shot. I'll drop a picture of that in the chat room for you guys. That's quite the shot. An extremely powerful solar flare, the largest in over 4 years, rocked the sun early Tuesday, August 9th, but is unlikely to wreak any serious havoc here on Earth, scientists say. It was a big flare, and today's solar flare began about 3:48 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with radiant X6.93 class scale. Scientists used to measure the strength of solar flares. So we have this going on. We've got meteors, asteroids, aliens. I mean, they're really starting to play all the cards, and I just see this as a total fulfillment of what Dr. Wernher von Braun talked about. First it would be, you know, commies, then it would be third world crazies, terrorists, then it would be asteroids, meteors threatening Earth, and then it would be we'd be told that not only do aliens exist, but hostile aliens want to invade us, when these aliens actually wouldn't be hostile. They were actually here to try and help us pull ourselves out of probably the mess that we're now seem to be sliding very deep into as we speak. But that always gets corrupted whenever you hear these truthers and these different, you know, people on radio shows and films and stuff. They don't go back to the source and check the source of what they really said, so they actually misquote Brown and say, oh yeah, he said that they're going to stage an alien invasion, and that's not what he said at all. I'm going to repeat that and repeat that and repeat that till people realize that it's the truth. Because I hear that all the time, people, oh, Wernher von Braun, he you know, because they always get the first part, you know, the part about the commies and the crazies and the asteroids, but they never seem to get the part about, you know, and he said then if that didn't work, the final card was going to be stage alien invasion. That's not what he said. He said that they were going to tell us hostile aliens were invading, but these aliens actually wouldn't be hostile. And it seems that's what all of this is sort of leading up to. The victim of a police shooting did not fire at officers before he was killed, according to a report by Independent Police Complaints Commission. The 29-year-old died after a gunshot to the chest on Thursday. The death sparked the first night of rioting in London and Tottenham. And so right there, the first person that died from this that sparked all this rioting in London was, you know, surprise, 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 was fired upon. He didn't ever fire. They sparked all that from this. Somebody in the chat room asked me, said something about earlier about Rick Clay, and he'd done a lot of research into 2012 and this whole thing. Yeah, he'd probably be freaking out about this stuff. I think everybody's already pretty much seen what this is. This is a leading up to, you know, to ramp up everything for the Olympics in 2012. They need something. They need an excuse in London to basically, in England, not just London, but in England as a whole, to be able to have even more of a lockdown police state encampment time type environment prior to the 2012 Olympics than they do already. And they are indeed trying to turn this into a race riot. London riots, pressure grows to show that the 2012 Olympics will be safe. 200 Olympic delegates are in town this morning to watch a beach volleyball test event on Horse Gorge Parade. Oh, this all happens to break out just as, you know, they're there getting ready to do this. Give me a fucking break. All by design. This has all been engineered. I don't know what else to say. UK sales of aluminum baseball bats up over 6,500%. Yeah. Axe handles, baseball bats, whatever you can do. Basic zombie gear, you know. Several days of rioting and looting in London have turned into a temporary boon for the sporting goods business. Figures for Amazon.co.uk show that sales of self-defense items like bats have skyrocketed in recent days. What good does it do to order it off Amazon if you need a baseball bat right now for looting or, you know, fucking shit up or defending yourself or anything? You know, I mean, maybe it's not the time to order online in the middle of fucking full-scale riots, you know, in towns burning, multiple towns burning. Oh, cheerio, mate. I think I'll just go and order me a baseball bat off of online. Yeah, off of Amazon. In fact, yes, I'll get the Super Saver shipping as well. Yes. Oh, cheerio, mate. Maybe, Mike, are we that immersed into the online world? I'll buy me one online, mate. It'll be here next week. I'm sure the riots will still be going on then, mate. Come on now. Go get off your fucking ass. Go down to the fucking sporting goods shop, mate, and buy yourself a fucking bat, you fucking limeys. God damn. The Rucanor aluminum baseball bat was at the top of Amazon's movers and shakers in sports leisure list, showing a 5,149% increase. Paywell's military police telescopic Tonfa also saw a rise of more than 5,000%. Some wooden bats were up almost as much as 3,664%. Other items like tents and headband lamps also benefited during the period of unrest. Yeah, yeah, they're making a boon. This is great. I mean, this is great for the economy. I mean, yeah, it's full-scale rise. People are out buying shit. That's good. That's more than they're doing right now. People sitting at home hoarding all their money because they're being scared into believing that, you know, the sky is falling. That's great. Okay, Nick says I can read his email on air. Okay, well, I'll get to that the next segment before I read from Sitchin or something like that. London is reeling for 3 nights of rioting that's poured hundreds of people into the streets, leaving several local neighborhoods in shambles. One man is dead, dozens injured and arrested. The protests have now spread to other cities, with violence reported in parts of Birmingham, Liverpool, and Bristol. Great Britain and other parts of the world are experiencing unrest. Yeah, Israel, they got riots going on there too. At a time of global economic uncertainty and stock market volatility. Here's a look at what's happening around the world and how economic downturns are bringing protesters in the street. Great Britain, Israel, Spain, Greece, Portugal, the Philippines. Thousands of people are workers in the street throughout the country. China, 1,000 cab drivers. Syria. And if it keeps up, you're going to see, you'll see this spread to the United States. And I just hope that people, for goodness sake, just take a step back here in this country and realize for a minute before they act on this stuff. Are they acting because they're acting on behalf of their beliefs and standing up for their rights because they believe that's the right and only thing they have to do? Or are they standing up and fighting because they're being told that's what they should do? I had this article earlier and I closed down. Let me see if I can find it again. It was just an unbelievable article. Where did it go? Here it is. You know, because a lot of people who are going to wind up in this stuff are, you know, they have the best intentions. They just don't know any better, and they're being provocateured into doing this. And at the same time, while these provocateurs are running around doing this, they're also putting out these lies, scientific bullshit, phony bullshit, made-up scientific stuff, not even real. Listen, this is just unbelievable, considering they're the ones that are, we know they're the ones provoking all this. Rioters have lower levels of brain chemical that keeps impulse behavior under control. So people only riot because they have a low level of a brain chemical that keeps them from doing that. So I guess their answer is going to be, look, if we just give you all this chemical and get you on this medicine, then we can make sure we have nobody get out of control and there won't be any more riots. Wouldn't you like that? You just want peace and quiet, right? You just want things to go back to normal, right? Well, you know, let us re-up this chemical in all your brains through the water or through the food, and hey, we won't have to worry about those nasty riots anymore, huh? How about that? Unbelievable, the audacity. These guys start this shit, they provoke it into happening, then they turn around and say, it's because those evil rioters have brain deficiencies. No, you're the guys with fucking brain deficiencies because you go around thinking everybody else has them when you're obviously the one that does. You sadistic, sick, murdering cowards. Some men may be more likely to riot because of their impulsive brains, according to a study. Certain individuals have lower levels of brain chemicals that help keep behavior under control, scientists believe. Research from the University of Cardiff uncovered a link between impulsiveness and levels of the neurotransmitter GABA. GABA, GABA, hey, GABA, GABA, we, GABA, GABA, hey. GABA in the brain, yeah. Those with love have never heard of GABA before. This sounds fucking made up. Those with low levels tend to be more aggressive and to respond rashly to urges. GABA is one of a family of brain chemicals that allow signals to flow between neurons. Around 30 male university students had their levels of GABA measured using a specialized type of brain scan. They were also asked to complete questionnaires that assess different aspects of impulsiveness, a trait known to influence self-control. Participants with more GABA in their prefrontal brain region had a lower score for urgency, the tendency to behave rashly in response to distress or strong emotions and urges. Men with lower GABA levels had higher urgency ratings, making them more likely to act aggressively, drink, and take drugs. The link with GABA was specific to the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, a region critical to higher thinking functions. The research funded by the Wellcome Trust is published in the journal Biological Society. Lead scientist Dr. Frederick Boyce said, what is clear is that the way people behave results from a complex interaction between a number of genetic, social, and environmental factors. What we have found is that one of the reasons why some men act impulsively may be related to lower concentration of GABA in specific parts of men's brains. We are suggesting that these men are dragged to concentration camps and immediately terminated with a bullet to the brain, then set on fire so their seed can no longer pollute the earth. Thank you very much. No, I added that last part of there, but that's what these guys were saying. I think the solution is to kill everyone on earth. The problem here is there's just too many of us. Yeah, well, here's the gun, buddy. Go ahead and depopulate away. We're right behind you, bud. Go ahead. Here you go. Go ahead and do it. Yeah, we're going right after you. Don't worry about it. No, they never do that. Failure in this finely tuned mechanism is particularly important in most psychiatric disorders. Well, there you go. Everything can be, everything in the world can be brought down to just a chemical disorder now, it seems. And guess what, baby? We got the cure for that. Oh, yeah. We got every kind of goddamn chemical you may have for your chemical imbalance. Got a chemical imbalance? We got a chemical. We can fix that. Now, you may need 30 more chemicals to offset the side effects of the one, but hey, you know, who's bitching, right? We can fix anything. Because, I mean, that makes sense, right? If you have a chemical imbalance, you have to take chemicals to fix, right? No. See, this is where they prey upon the stupidity that's ingrained in everybody. And they do this. People really do think this. People think that when they say that you have a chemical imbalance in your brain, that those chemicals in your brain that your brain is producing that you have imbalance of are the same as the chemicals that the doctor prescribes to you that you go to the pharmacy and get. Wrong, bucko. But see, that's where the control of the language manipulates people in that it creates that association. That's what people believe. I have a chemical imbalance in my brain. My brain doesn't produce enough of these chemicals, so I get a prescription from my doctor. I ingest these chemicals, and it replaces those chemicals. Well, yeah, technically, maybe it does do that, but it's not the same. The chemical that is being made by, you know, Big Pharma in the medical industrial complex that is being designed to get you on the teat of the medical industrial complex from cradle to grave, each and every one of us, that's the plan. That's why they put everything in the food and the water and they're polluting and they're allowing all these things to go melt down and why they're spraying corrections in the ocean. Dude, the sicker we are, the more profits they get. It's in their best interest. You know, all that people always say, well, you know, these people have children too. They wouldn't be doing all this because they got children and their children would get sick too. They don't give a fuck. And most of the few elite anyway, at the very top have, I mean, they've got a cure for everything. The cure for anything that any of us could ever have is here on this planet. But we're not worthy enough in their eyes to have it. Unbelievable stuff. Low chemical levels, huh? Yeah, and as I was talking about earlier, you know, all of this stuff, this is the ramp up to space-based weapons. All this coinciding with the end of the NASA program of the space shuttle. They're moving all the funding away from the billions of dollars of the space shuttle program and moving that to the space-based weapons program. Because as it stands right now, the United States government has supremacy of space, and we have supremacy of space-based weapons and everything else. And that's going to be the deciding factor. Because, I mean, these motherfuckers are crazy, dude. The people that are in control of our weapon systems are fucking nuts. If you think they for a second won't start wiping out countries and areas with, you know, advanced weaponry and scalar weaponry and everything else, anybody that challenges America, you got another thing coming, man. And here's the proof. U.S. Space Agency announced funding for 30 new space projects Monday, including ways to protect astronauts from deep space radiation, eliminate space debris, and improve spacesuit technology. I thought we already solved that deep space radiation problem years ago when we went to the moon, right? Those suits had no radiation protection in them whatsoever. So how'd they make it through the Van Allen radiation belt? It's a good question. Answer, they didn't. Nobody, because we never went. That's what all this technology is going for. They're going to figure out how to break free of this rock. And everything's going back towards that. Weapons programs. A mysterious unsigned 5-page memo that appears to coach oil lease buyers to dupe landowners into allowing fracking in their backyards deepened the debate over the controversial practice when it was discovered in a crushed binder in a Greene County, Ohio driveway. This comes to us from Raw Story. Mystery fracking memo deepens Ohio drilling debate. The shale-rich land of Greene County is a hot commodity, the Associated Press reported, as residents are used to being approached by so-called landmen who go door-to-door trying to lease property for drilling. Residents said that the language in the memo reminded them of Jim Butcher, who represents West Bay Exploration Company in Traverse City, Michigan. The memo, which isn't on letterhead and has no logo, can't be directly connected to Butcher. According to investigations by the district attorney, the memo gives instructions to ignore the dangers of groundwater contamination and property devaluation, downplay the controversial natural gas drilling, and to describe the drilling process as radioactive free, despite the fact that the memo acknowledges that that is a lie. I mean, they're using radioactivity now in this fracking stuff. Has that come out? Did I miss that? I didn't know that. Jesus Christ. Shale gas, the product extracted via hydraulic fracturing, is twice as bad for the climate as coal is, according to a Cornell University study. Despite the data, natural gas is seen as green and clean and has been endorsed by President Barack Obama. The problem is the method of extraction by drilling into shale, twice as much methane leaks from the well over time and escapes into the atmosphere. The Environmental Protection Agency is blocked from regulating fracking under the Safe Drinking Water Act, but urged for federal standards for the practice. Because of the relatively cheap cost and abundance of shale gas, the industry has boomed. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, natural gas reserves could supply the U.S.'s needs for 110 years. But at what cost? More polluted cities, more smog, more ozone, more heat, more drought. I mean, we've got free energy, free, unlimited, clean, natural energy sitting on the shelf and have for 100 plus years. That is a fact. You want to call me a conspiracy theorist? You want to call me? I don't theorize about anything. That's a fact. There is infinite energy technology sitting on the shelf right now, and we're sitting around twiddling our thumbs, wondering, oh, is natural gas good or bad? We shouldn't be fucking with this stuff for any goddamn reason. The only reason they want to do it is they want to destroy this planet, kill us all, and jump off and go somewhere else as the cataclysms happen. Just like their forefathers did with the Great Deluge, and that's what we've been getting in with the Lost Book of Enki. We'll do that more tonight as well. Wake up, people. Why can't you see this? It's happening all around you. It's not coming. It's here now. Time to wake up and see this for what it is. We are going to take a break here in just a minute. We're going to come back and get into the Lost Book of Enki for you. And I got another email here I want to get into tonight from Nick as well. So we'll get into that. And any other emails you want to send one in tonight, love to have one from you. Global Reality Show. @gmail.com. That's Global Reality Show. @gmail.com. Love to have one from you over there. And this is the Global Reality, folks, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
playing around with my head. Okay, the things they will do and the things they will say, but they don't really understand. Tears fill my eyes when I hear all the cries for the reason today. We'll be right back.
With you on the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Glad you could be with us here tonight as we continue to get into information, topics of discussion, all kinds of stuff. Love to have emails from you, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Again, please support our work. We have our fundraising goal this week. We're going to start doing this by the week so we can, you know, I'm just going to set a number every week, and that's what we need to get in for the week. We need to raise $200 this week. Have the stream bill coming up due on the 15th. We didn't get anything in last week, so please contribute if you can there at the website, theglobalreality.com. Use the chip-in banner. Use the donate button. We also have a P.O. Box address now. You can send checks if you like. You send that to P.O. Box 112551, Carrollton, Texas, 75011, CARROLLTON, P.O. Box 112551, Carrollton, Texas, 75011. And that information is located on my website, theglobalreality.com. You scroll down the right side of the page. Underneath where it says fundraiser, scroll all the way down. It says donate via postal mail. And that's where you can do that at as well. And so we do need your support right now really bad. So please support us if you can. I've got an email I've got to read from Nick. But Nick was in the chat room a minute ago, and he was saying that how a lot of blogs and forums still say that the owl is Moloch, even though, you know, the information is out there. And most people by now know that. Even Jones admits that he fucked up there, but whether it was a fuck up or whether it was intentional, I believe it was intentional, not a mistake. I think he's, you know, now that people found out what it is, he's covering, saying, oh, yeah, it was a mistake, I'm in a mistake, folks, blah, blah, blah. Well, and then Nick said that Chris Everard sort of contributed to that belief in his first Illuminati film, I think it was his first one, where he had, you know, the Jones clip from Bohemian Grove there and talked about that. And I had mentioned, I said, well, you know, I like Chris Everard, I like a lot of his films, and Like I was working, I don't have a problem with him as a guy. I don't think, you know, but I do have a lot. I do have some problems with some, with you know, I do have some problems with the guy. I think he uses a lot of fear and over, you know, I don't like the way he uses a lot of these Kabbalistic chants in his films, you know, weird stuff like that. He, you know, claims to collect all these Illuminati manuscripts, yet he never makes them available to the public, you know. But, you know, Nick was saying, well, you know, he seemed to cover for Jonesy there. And I said, well, you know, he said on my show, I interviewed him twice, and he said at the beginning of one of the shows, it may have been the second show that I did with him, I was on New Year's Eve in on Oracle, 2008, January 31st, 2008, going into 2009, that he was going about to go to the Vatican. It was, yeah, it was that interview, the second one I did with Chris Edward, and he was about to go to the Vatican and shoot their collection of ephods for a film. And he mentioned this story and told me that he used to see these medals on top of his, you know, the mantle at his grandparents' house. And he used to ask, you know, what those were. And he was always told that, he was always told that his grandfather was in, you know, some, Air Force or Army or something of that nature. And he said that when he grew up and he looked at those medals again, he realized that his grandfather was actually a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the Knights of Malta. So yeah, Chris Everard did admit on my show that his grandfather was a member of the Knights of Malta. Now, you know, does that make him, you know, automatically persona non grata and, you know, make his information or all of his information irrelevant? No, certainly not. I wouldn't get behind that or say that his information be looked at or at least, you know, given a fair day in court. But I will say this, if you were in the way Nick was saying, you know, I would say that if you were a researcher from the standpoint of being, you know, objective and looking at research, that the connection of, you know, covering up the fact that the owl is Minerva, which connects, you know, back to Rome, all roads leading to Rome there. And, you know, the fact that he sort of goes along with a Moloch line like Jones put out, you know, could indicate that he's, you know, one of these guys. It wouldn't surprise me, but, I don't know, man. You know, I say, again, just take people's information, you know, and look into stuff for yourself. He's, you know, I think he's done some great research, I think. I struggle to say anything bad about the guy at all. I don't really, you know, I don't think anything bad about him. I interviewed him twice and talked to him. He's very nice fellow. Very sweet and very just kind and, you know, but, you know, I have to be honest about the way I feel about people. I can't just say, or get up here and tell you that, you know, you should get into everything Chris Everard talks about if you know, there are things that I think is a problem. And, you know, from a researcher standpoint, I'd have to say that, you know, it's all in the family, folks. And very rarely does the chain break, especially in direct family. You know, your grandfather was Knights of Malta. Well, there's a good chance you're probably, you know, involved in some of that stuff too. I don't know. I just say that, but be aware of everybody and be aware of things like that. When somebody is obviously, you know, engaging in a disinformation campaign with, and it appears that there's intent to it. That's the thing with a lot of Jones's stuff. Now, some people make mistakes. Some people parrot things they've heard because they believe that that's, it's the truth, and so they've heard who they believe are to be credible people say certain things. And I think that the Moloch thing is a big one. But some people do it with intent, and some people I don't think they're doing it with intent. I think that they're just parrots. But Alex Jones, that's the biggest thing about him that's dangerous about him, is that people parrot what he says, and what he says that's disinfo is being done with intent. It's not just him making mistakes and you know, not being accurate in his research. The guy is legitimately not giving you the entire picture of the New World Order and the power structure and how deep it goes and what it really goes back to. He's giving you an edited version that seeks to serve the very elite he claims to expose. And that's a threat. That's dangerous. We don't need any more of that. And so when it comes to that, with what Nick brought up about Chris Everard, you know, again, I have a problem condoning people that do that kind of stuff anymore. You know, but it very well could have been, you know, and again, I'm not going to say anything bad about Chris Everard, but just, you know, with anybody, take their information, confirm what you can, see if it matches up with stuff. And if you get discrepancies, if you think that there are glaring things that are being left out or, you know, stuff like that, where they're saying it's Moloch when it's obviously goes back to Roman priest class, Jesuit type stuff. I mean, you know, again, that's one that's hard to ignore. But, you know, that's why I always try to tell people, look, you got to do your homework. You got to do checking up on this stuff. People always try that weak argument and say that somebody left a comment on The Secret Right not too long ago and said that Alex Jones backs up everything he says with documents. Yeah, documents that you can never see. It's always, wing out the secret documents, folks, but you can't see them. They're too secret. He backs up everything he says with documents, and you haven't backed up anything that you claim in this movie. I haven't backed up anything that I claimed in that movie. Well, what, did you go bother to check? Now, and of course, I'm asking, you know, a stupid question because they didn't, because obviously this person's a plant just by the way they're talking. That's the thing. You can go and look up any of the claims I've ever made about the CMP and the Jesuits and the rest of this stuff, and you can find out that it's all true and most times worse than I'm even telling you. Most people have. Everybody that I've talked to that has really taken it upon themselves to look into this Jesuit thing and the priest class thing and the CMP, the John Birch Society, the rest of this stuff, everybody who's actually taken a legitimate look at it, I haven't had one single person come back yet and say, oh, no, there's nothing to that. I took a legitimate look at it. I mean, nobody said that yet because most people, number one, won't look into it because they don't want to know. I've ran into that a lot. There are a lot of radio show hosts out there that agree 100% with the stuff that I talk about, but they won't ever tell you that on their shows. And those are cowards. Cowards they are. I can't tell you how many cowards there are in the whole, you know, truth radio conspiracy genre thing. So many cowards. People who know this stuff is true, but who are afraid to talk about it because they feel that it's going to hurt their, you know, their sponsors on their show, because that's all they're worried about is getting that good advertising money every month. See, that's why I don't do that here. But yeah, I just trust no one, man. I mean, I'm going back to the old X-Files. Just trust no one. Just don't trust anybody. Take the information. Support those people like me and others who you think are real, but, you know, just don't trust anybody. I mean, almost every single person I've ever admired or liked the research of and all this has just turned out to be another snake in the grass. I mean, it happens all the time. Let's see what else we have here tonight. We've got this email from Nick I wanted to read. He says, hey, Josh, it's Nick. When I wanted to have a Skype conversation with you last week, it was regarding something that happened to me on the night of the moon last Friday. I was really getting my astrological chart done, and I was researching on the computer, and numbers kept coming up, and I was looking into the 444 and 888 sequences. So I decided to type 88 in Google search. 8 times 88, and the third item listed was an obituary. Please read. Okay, I'm opening this now. It's kind of slow. Donna Faye Trueblood. Now, that's funny because isn't it always in those like vampire movies and shit? Aren't the vampires always called the Truebloods? Donna Faye Trueblood died on 8-8-8-8. Or she was 88 and died on July 8th. Donna Faye Trueblood. That's interesting. First, the name Odin popped up. Yeah, right next to her. She was, I guess, died in the town of Odin. Odin being similar to the Norse god. First, the name Odin popped right out at me. Her name Trueblood. We know the importance of bloodlines. Then her membership into the Odin Rebecca Lodge. I assume the lodge meant Masonic. Yeah, the Rebecca group. Yeah, that's a bloodline group. You have to be a bloodline. Sometimes you have the Dame of Malta's, like the Knights of Malta, the Dame like Phyllis Schlafly. Yeah, bloodlines are only allowed in those. I assume the lodge meant Masonic, but never heard of that type of lodge system. I go to the Wikipedia page, and lo and behold, it's part of the Odd Fellows, and their headquarters is in Oslo, Norway. Imagine that. Odd Fellows have the largest membership of any Masonic organization worldwide. Odin, being Norway, Norse god, could have an importance in why the massacre occurred for the esoteric implications, while their international intelligence community were able to spin it into the direction on an exoteric level. Also, a large and established fraternity like the Odd Fellows would have access to MKUltra assassins at their disposal to do the bidding for anyone that requires order out of chaos in a particular region. So, yeah. There it is, right there. I know that Rebecca group for a fact is, it's a secret society for bloodline females. That's the long and the short of it. That's exactly what that is. So good find there, Nick. Thanks for that email. You can always email me anytime. Do my best to get into those on the show, on following shows and episodes here for you. All the Global Reality. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Again, my website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's theglobalreality.com. And love to see you in there in the chat room as well. Lots of people hanging out in there tonight. All right. Let's get into some Lost Book of Enki for you here tonight. And now this is the account of how the Anunnaki decided to abandon the Earth. Well, all right, let's get into it. And how they took an oath to let mankind perish in the deluge. In Nibiru, Enlil summoned the commanders of the Anunnaki and the Igigi. Their leaders, sons, and children were also present. Enlil revealed to them a secret word of the impending calamity. To a bitter end, Earth missions has come to them, he solemnly said. All who wish to leave in celestial boats to Nibiru are ready and will be evacuated. But if they have Earth spouses, they must leave without their spouses. The Igigi who took their spouses are attached to their spouses and offspring. Let them escape to the highest peaks on Earth. As for a few of us Anunnaki who will choose to stay in boats of heaven, we will remain in the skies. A calamity we will outweigh at the fate of the Earth will we witness. As the commander, I shall be the first one to say, so Enlil was saying. By their own choice, there will be others. With my father, I choose to stay and to face the calamity, so did Ninurta announce. To the lands beyond the ocean, after the deluge, I will return. Nanar and Lil's on-earth firstborn announced an odd wish. The deluge to outweigh not in Earth skies, but on the moon. That was his wish, so he's like, fuck this, I'm going up there. Enki raised an eyebrow, though puzzled, and Lil approved. Ishkur, Enlil's youngest, made the decision to remain by his father's side on Earth. Utu and Inanna, Nannar's children who were born on Earth, also declared that they would stay. Enki and Nenki decided not to abandon Earth and proudly announced that they were going to stay. The Agigi and Serpanit, I shall not desert, Marduk stated with anger. One by one, Enki's other sons, too, announced their choice to stay, Nurgle and Gabil, Ningal and Ningishida and Dimuzi, too. All eyes then turned to Ninma. With pride, she declared her choice to stay. My life work is here. The Earthlings, my creation, I shall not abandon. By her words, Anunnaki and Agigi were stirred into a clamor about the Earthlings' fate that they had acquired. Let the Earthlings perish for their abominations, so Enlil did proclaim. A wondrous being by us was created. By us, it must be saved, Enki shouted to Enlil. To this, Enlil, with his own words, retorted more. From the very beginning, at every turn, the decisions by you were modified. To primitive workers, procreating you gave. To them, knowledge you endowed. The powers of the creator of all you have taken into your own hands. Thereafter, even by that abomination, you fouled. With fornication, you conceived Adapa. You gave understanding to his family line. His offspring to the heavens you have taken. Our wisdom with them you have shared. Every rule you have broken, decisions and command you ignored. Because of you, by a civilized earthling brother, a brother murdered. Because of Marduk, your son, like him, the Agigi, intermarried with the Earthlings. Who is lordly from Nibiru? To whom alone the Earth belongs? To no one is no longer known. Enough, enough to all that I can say. The abominations cannot continue. Now that a calamity by a destiny unknown has been ordained, let what must happen, happen. So Enlil did angrily proclaim that all the leaders solemnly swear to let events unhindered occur, Enlil demanded of them all. First to take the oath of silence was Ninurta. Others of Enlil's side followed. Nurgle of Enki's sons was first to take the oath. Others of Enki's sons followed as well. To your command I bow, Marduk to Enlil said. But of what worth is the swearing? If the Agigi will abandon their spouses, would not the fear among the earthlings spread? Ninma was in tears, the words of oaths she faintly whispered. Enlil gazed at his brother Enki. It is the wish of king in council to him, he said. Why will you bind me with an oath? Enki asked his brother Enlil. The decision by you was made. On earth, it is a commandment. The floodwaters I cannot arrest. The earthly multitudes I cannot save. To what oath to bind me you therefore desire? So did Enki ask his brother. To let it all happen as if decreed by fate. Ah, see? There it is. Now that's a very important... God, I'm getting all kinds of static and... all kinds of crazy stuff here in my headphones tonight. To let it all happen as if decreed by fate. Now that really speaks volumes, doesn't it? You know, this whole idea that man, you know, man was wiped out by this great deluge, and you know, let it be written down. If anybody ever speaks of it, you know, let them say that, oh, it was their destiny, that was their fate to be wiped out with a deluge, even though it was artificially created. Aha, you see. So these same guys in control now, these same priest class guys now are doing the same thing. It's our fault that the wars are happening. It's our fault that we let Al-Qaeda attack us. We had too many freedoms. They hated us for our freedoms. They attacked us. It's our fault. It's our fault that we have alleged global warming, and it's our fault. So we have to pay more taxes and have a carbon tax. It's all our fault. You see, they created, they spin it back around and put it on us regular folks to make it seem as if it's our fault and our responsibility that, oh, that was our fate. That's what we deemed for ourselves. That's what they're trying to do now with all of this. Don't you see that? This is what I've been screaming about for almost 4 years on this show, folks. This is it. All this stuff that's going on right now in the world as we speak is all being created so that when it all does go to hell in a handbasket, the sole responsibility will lie on the shoulders of the citizens, the regular humans, the regular people, not the people in charge. Their power is going to go on and continue. But this is absolute, to me, absolute, with all my knowledge, folks, absolutely, positively undeniable that these priest class elite, these bloodlines, go back to who the people we're reading about here, because they are following the same playbook to a T. Wipe out mankind and, you know, let it be written in the history books with a few that survived that, you know, it was mankind's, you know, fall out of the Garden of Eden that caused the deluge. Well, the reason they fell out of the Garden of Eden is because these Nephilim Anunnaki motherfuckers were coming down here and getting their dick wet every 2 seconds, setting themselves up as gods. They had to separate them out. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's the same thing they're doing now. All this stuff is, oh, it's our fault. You need the New World Order because, you know, you guys can't manage yourselves on your own, so you need a global power to manage your everyday, every lives and have everything tracked and traced and being controlled by one group or entity. Yeah, that's what you can't handle it on your own. On Enlil alone, let the responsibility forever rest, Enki did pronounce to all. Then Enki quickly departed from the assembly. Marduk also left with him. With quick words of command, Enlil ordered the assembly be brought. Tasks for what was to be done, he with firm decisions assigned. Both those who will depart and those who will stay will arrange the grouping. Places for assembly to designate, equipment to collect, chariots to assign. First to depart were those who were returning to Nibiru. With much embracing and the locking of arms, in joy mixed with sorrow, they boarded the celestial boats. One after the other, the vehicles from Sippar roared aloft. At first, those left behind journey safely, shouted, then muted were the cries. After the launchings toward Nibiru were completed, the turn of Marduk and the Igigi with earthling spouses came. Marduk assembled them all in the landing place and gave them a choice. Go with him, Serpanet, and two sons and the daughters to Mars, and to outwait the calamity, or to distant mountain lands on Earth's disperse and find a haven from the deluge. Enlil then took account of those who remained and by groupings assigned them to chariots. Ninurta to the mountain lands beyond the oceans, Enlil directed on Earth's rumblings to report. To Nurtle and Ereshkigal, the task to watch the white land was assigned. To guard against an onrush of earthlings to Ishkar, Enlil gave this task. to bar access, barrier and bolt to erect and bolster. Now, what do you suppose that means? See, they don't have any context. To bar access, barrier and bolt, and to erect and bolster. I think that, see, that's where I think the erection of the, to bar access, instead of a barrier, to bolt and erect and bolster, that's when they're setting up the etherical barrier so that humans can't escape. So we'll be forever trapped down here and can't escape this planet. Of all the preparations, Sippar, the place of the celestial chariots, was the center. To Sippar, Enlil moved the tablets of destiny from Nibiru Key to a temporary bond between heaven and earth. It was established there. So he set up a basically a wormhole, a portal. His brother Enki then addressed Enlil and said to him, however, if ever the calamity might be survived, let all that has happened be remembered. Let us record tablets in Sippar in the depths of the earth, safely bury them. Let from what one planet to the other had done in the days to come be uncovered. And that was Enki. He wanted to have this stuff recorded. He wanted to put this in deep into the earth so that we would find it one day. And, you know, this is what people, this is what I believe religion was supposed to be based on, or was originally based on until it was corrupted and turned into all this stuff. It was originally what he's talking about here, these tablets of these records. So that one day mankind might find them and read about all of this stuff and what their, you know, their gods, their creators had done, so that they wouldn't repeat the same mistakes. And the moment that this information was considered taboo and not for us humans to see, we became enslaved. And that's where we remain today because of our ignorance and our engineered ignorance of this information. Now listen to this. Enki approved with his brother's words. They stored MEs and other tablets in golden chests. Tablets and chests. Does that sound familiar? This is why I think we have all these constant, endless goose chases of people trying to find the Ark of the Covenant and all this stuff. They don't want us to know what's on these tablets. They don't want us to know what's in this because, again, if we had this information, we would no longer be enslaved. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable. The tablets in golden, stored them in golden chests and buried them in the earth. Yeah. In the depths of the earth in Sippar, they buried them for posterity. Thus, ready for the signal to depart, the leaders awaited. The approach of Nibiru, they watched with apprehension as it made its great orbit. It was at that time of anxious waiting that Enki, his sister Ninma, addressed. To her, thus Enki was saying, in his preoccupation with the earthlings of all other living creatures, Enlil had lost attention. When the avalanche of water swept over the lands, other living creatures, some by us from Nibiru, that originated from Nibiru, but most from Earth itself that had evolved from Earth itself. In one sudden swoop to an extinction shall all be doomed. So he's saying, you know, yeah, look, it's fine that you want to wipe out my creation, even though I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right. Because they're living creatures that have souls and we created them. We shouldn't just destroy them. We should give them a chance and maybe show them where we fucked up, where we messed up, and if we do that, maybe we won't have another sick society ruled by bloodlines and elites and priests and kings and queens. You see? And that's what we've done. We've just set up ourselves a mini Nibiru down here on Earth. And we're fucking up and doing the same goddamn things that these idiots did. And there's no reason for it. And he's saying here, you know, look, you know, yeah, we want to wipe out these humans because we created them. But look, there's a bunch of stuff down on here that we didn't create. So what gives us the right to just wipe out all of that? It's just a very interesting dichotomy, you know. Let us, you and me, preserve their seed of life. We will extract and keep their life essences for safekeeping. DNA. Ninma, she who gave life, gave Enki her words of favor. I shall do it in Shurabak. You do so with the Abzu's living creatures, so to Enki she said. While the others sat idly watching, Enki and Ninma took a challenging task. Ninma in Shurabak was helped by some of her female assistants. Enki, by Nigazita, was assisted in the Abzu at the Olden House of Life. Male and female essences and life eggs they collected. One of each kind, two by two by two, they in Shurabak and the Abzu preserved. For safekeeping while in orbit above the Earth, we will take them thereafter to the living kinds to recombine. At that time, word from Inerta came. Earth's rumblings are ominous. At that time, word from Nurgle and Ereshkigal came. The White Land is shaken. In Sipar, all the Anunnaki gathered, and they awaited the day of the deluge. So that's the end of the ninth tablet. I have to read for you the synopsis. We're going to be getting into the 10th tablet on the next episode. This is the synopsis of the 10th planet. We'll pick up on the 10th planet. I'm sorry, not 10th planet, 10th tablet. Blech. It's late, I'm sorry. Synopsis of the 10th tablet. The mystery emissary appears to Enki in a dream vision. Enki is told to save mankind through his son, Zasudra. By subterfuge, Enki directs Zasudra to build a submarine. A navigator comes aboard, bringing Earth's seeds of life. Nibiru's approach causes the White Land's ice sheet to slip. The resulting tidal wave engulfs the Earth with water. The remaining Anunnaki bewail the calamity from Earth orbit. So that's interesting. Again, I don't buy into all this Nibiru stuff really, but you know, it's weird. It's just hard for me to ignore that. You know, Nibiru starts getting close to Earth, and what starts happening? It starts heating up. Polar ice caps start melting, all this stuff, you know. It's just really hard to ignore that. Especially with all this stuff that's going on right now. The remaining Anunnaki bewail the calamity from Earth orbit. The waters recede. Zasudra's boats rest on Mount Salvation. Descending in a whirlwind, Enlil discovers Enki's duplicity. Enki convinces Enlil it was destined by the creator of all. They use the surviving landing platform as a temporary base. In a creation chamber there, crops and cattle are fashioned. Abundant gold is discovered in the lands beyond the seas. New space facilities are established in the olden lands, and they include two artificial mounds and a lion-shaped carving. Two artificial mounds and a lion-shaped carving. Egypt, anybody? Two great pyramids? Ninma offers a peace plan to resolve erupting rivalries. So, page 218, 218, the 10th tablet. That is where we'll be picking up next time. Man. I love reading stuff for you guys on air, and I really do. It just seems like I get more out of it when I read to you guys on air. You guys seem to get a lot out of it. Just unbelievable stuff, man. I mean, this is exactly the same blueprint these guys are following today, to this day. And no wonder the CMP and the John Birch Society and the phony patriots and the truthers, no wonder they built their entire structure around keeping you from looking into all this other information. That's why they've done it, folks. That's why they've tried to, you know, Anunnaki, blah, 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 and act like fucking third graders. Look, just because you want to act like a third grader, because you don't want somebody to find out the truth, does not mean that people are not going to find it out. Once we know that the reason that we are enslaved on this planet is because the elite at the highest levels have our birthright, what was ours, what was put here for us to know, and they're using that to enslave us, it's game over for them. And it's all just a matter of time now. Folks, that's our show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's theglobalreality.com. We have a chipping banner. We have the donate button there. Monthly subscriptions if you want to donate and have a monthly donation come out of your bank account every month. You don't have to come back and use the donate button, chipping banner. Hey, go check that out. We have a P.O. box there too. DVDs as well, CDs, anything. Please donate. We need to raise $200 this week to continue and keep our work going. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. You guys have a great night, great morning. Take care. We'll see you next time.